Just 1 point out of six leaves Reading heading into an international break in the bottom half of the table. But are our glasses half full or half empty? Welcome to the Tullhurst End Podcast, episode number 37. My name is Dan Wimbush, and I'm joined once again by Mr. Alan West, otherwise known as Westy.
Hello. Hello, mate. How are you?
Been better. And Mr. Johnny Williams, deputy editor of the Tullhurst End. Johnny, hello.
Evening. Been better as well. It's always been better, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well,
it is right now.
Let's not hang about. We sat here on the last episode and we were saying how many points we'd like from these two away games at Leeds and Brentford. And I said minimum of two. Yeah, I think the both of you were, a 3 or 4 point minimum?
I said I'd be disappointed if they get at least three out of it.
I said two draws, so two.
Yeah, and basically they've ended up with one because they've gone away to Leeds and got a creditable 0-0 draw, clean sheet away from home. And then they went to Brentford and... completely imploded. They lost 3-1 there. And as I said, they've gone into a two-week international break in the bottom half of the table.
On a downer.
And on an absolute downer, because the overall picture now is just 2 points out of a possible 12. And suddenly that wave of optimism we were riding through the early part of September has evaporated. So let's get straight into it. What is your glass half empty or is your glass half full as you head into these 2 weeks?
Oh, that's a good question. We just, as you say, that we were checking our glasses of water. Mine was completely empty and yours is half full, wasn't it?
I was about to say, it's nearing half empty, to be honest.
But serious note, I think when you look at the four games they've played and they haven't got many points out of, it's a bit disappointing the fact they haven't really played anyone either. They've not played a side that you would expect to be too near the top by the end of the season. So in looking at it that way, you'd say it's half full at the moment. Half empty, sorry. But it's just annoying me that it continually changes a side that didn't, in my opinion, didn't need changing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that takes us nicely into the Leeds game. And Johnny, I'll get your half-full opinion in a second. But that takes us into the Leeds game last Wednesday night. Reading go out to Welland Road, a place they've done quite well at recently. And I think it's fair to say they had the lion's share of the chances. Not an awful lot of chances on goal, but they had a few penalty shouts, a lot of possession in decent areas, and Adam Federici wasn't really troubled in the goal, so they could possibly argue they were a bit unlucky. But Adkins went with the same team that had drawn 3-3 with Wolves. Hope Akpan, who we were questioning the substitution against Wolves, he came straight in. There was no hint of Danny Guthrie coming on anywhere near the starting lineup, and they were pretty solid and got the point, Johnny. And again, for me at least, I thought that was... I know AD Williams moves already. Berkshire wasn't particularly happy with that point, but I sat here thinking, away, clean sheet, Elland Road, first game at home for a new manager. I don't think they've done too bad.
Yeah, I think we did really well to sort of nullify the Leeds threat, and it got a bit dicey in the last sort of 10-15 minutes as they sort of, you know, tried to pile forward and make something of the game. But I thought, you know, we were definitely the better side on the day, and really have to say, aside from that 4-0 drubbing at Forest, our away performances haven't been too bad at all. You know, just going through the results, we draw 0-0 at Leeds, 1-0 at Sheffield Wednesday, grab a 1-0 win at Middlesbrough, 4-0 away at Forest, and 2-2 draw against Wigan on the opening day that we were seconds away from winning. And the away form isn't actually too bad. Obviously, grabbing a clean sheet as well away from home, that's great, but it's for me, it's disconcerting that we didn't create that many clear-cut chances. Blackman has a shot from 25 yards, which keeper does well to tip over. I think it's Murray has a header from a corner as well that the keeper gets down well to save. But I didn't really come out of that game thinking, and I haven't come out of many games that Reading have played thinking we deserve more from that game.
No, and it's been typical. I've said it all through since the start of the season. In all of their games, it's been very much championship games where they could have gone either way, apart from, to be fair, Brentford this week, who sort of ended up getting 2-goal deficit between us and we didn't get anywhere near them really until the second half when he made the substitutions. But last year, we was very good away from home and poor at home. But we're not scoring an awful lot away from home. That's the worrying thing at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to the opening day of the season for the last time we scored 2 on the road.
Yeah.
And one of those was a Sean Cummings thunderbolt, which you don't get too often. Mm-hmm. And Sean Morrison goal, who's no longer here.
And one of the things that last year that we was better away from when we were at home is because teams came on to us when we were away. Where I suppose they're doing it this year, but we're not seeming to be able to break them down for some reason, even though arguably we've got better players going forward than
we have. Do you think Reading are possibly stuck into a mentality? Because if you look at the games this year, they're either really open and high scoring or very tight and going nicking one with the other. Do you think there's a bit of a problem with not having that happy medium? They don't seem to know how to be solid whilst posing a threat going forward.
Well, it's the difference between the sort of Brian McDermott style and the Nigel Adkins style, I think. You know, Brian McDermott was very happy to grab a scrappy 1-0 win, try and keep things tight and hit teams on the counter-attack, whereas Adkins has always set these goals of scoring 100 goals or scoring 86 goals, as he's somewhat downgraded it this season. I mean, we've got more scoring potential in there, but you look at the back four. You know, Chris Gunter's 25, Hector's what, 21, 22, Pierce is 25, Abita's 23, and
I think he's a bit younger than that.
21. Yeah, very young.
And you have to say, increasingly as the season goes on, it looks more and more like Abita, isn't it, left back? This is certainly a very different back four and two in front to what we used to have 2 or 3 years ago when we could grind out results.
I'd also say that before we start saying, well, we've got a very young and experienced defence, I think also the cover, and I said this a few weeks back, that the cover in front of them isn't good enough at times, where you have too many players too far up the pitch and not reacting to the other team's attacking. Whether that's Atkins saying to him, well, we're going to cheat a little bit and we don't want you two to come too far back, especially the wide players, or it's just something to do with the team not getting back quick enough, I don't know. But when you, I say this quite a lot, when you watch Man United in their heyday, they always had two backs of four, and they was always back behind the ball as quick as they could be.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to be a superstar footballer to be able to do that. You just have to be organised and fit. And they should be fit, and they should be organised, and they're not at times.
I think part of the problem comes from the fact that on the wings, we are playing forwards. Nick Blackman and Jamie Mackie, for instance, as it was in the second half at Brentford, they're more forwards than wide midfielders. Yeah. When we had McAnuff and McCleary, I don't want to keep going on about, you know, 2 years ago, but they're wide midfielders. They know the position of being a wide midfielder. They know to get forward, but they also know to get back as well. And when you've got sort of converted wingers, well, converted strikers out on the wing, they don't have that defensive inclination. So it is a bit of just attack and defence.
You're right, and I agree with you. But also, if you were to train after the matches, I know for a fact they watch the games afterwards, surely the manager should be saying to them, right, I know you're supposed to be a forward wide player, but we need to get back beyond the ball quicker than we are, because there's too many gaps in that midfield. And like we were saying a few weeks back, Akpan does give you a sort of steel in there, where these others are a bit light, I would have said. Norwood, Krul, Guthrie to a certain extent, they're slightly light. And if you put them all in there together, you've got no sort of enforcer.
Well, it's funny, and we'll move on to the Brentford game then. As I said, Reading lose 3-1 at Griffin Park. I was a guest on the Besotted podcast with a few other guys who occasionally write for the Tirelessness End as well. But the Besotted guys, the Brentford fans, after we sort of talked about Reading's strengths and weaknesses, they said, I think we'll turn Reading over, because it doesn't sound like you're a team that bullies
us. Definitely not.
And sure enough, on Saturday, especially when you saw the lineup, you went,
weak.
That's a weak team.
Yeah.
Hope Akpan picked up a little bit of a knock at least, so he was out. Danny Guthrie has another hamstring problem, so he was out. So it left Aaron Cold coming into the midfield. A couple of other really random selections. Simon Cox has dropped down to the bench. Ryan Edwards came in. And also you saw Hal Robson-Kanu come in out of absolutely nowhere to replace Jake Taylor. I know Jake Taylor has been a little bit carrying a bit of an injury as well, but Jamie Mackie, who seems to be perfectly fit, was omitted in place of Kanu, whose only previous game this season had been he played at Derby when we got beat there. So
I also don't remember Robson Carney's last good game, to be honest.
Yeah, I think
if someone could tweet in his last good match, then I'd like to know which one it was.
Yeah, we'll certainly come on to Hal a little bit later on. But yeah, so you saw that lineup, and sure enough, not a lot of physical threat. And Brentford wanted this. They wanted this game badly. I know there's been a bit of niggling aggro between the two fans ever since Kuro had that magic day 12 years ago. But it was the Brentford players, and the whole atmosphere around the place was, we want this. And it reminded me of Reading when they first got in that division. That hunger, it was just, the ball would break between two Reading players and there would be that hesitation. They'd be like, are you getting this? Am I getting this? Brentford wouldn't, they just steamed
for
the ball and got it. And Reading have got that hesitation at the moment, because I still think it's, they're learning on the job, not just the art of professional football in the case of players like Aaron Cole, but they're learning a team style, because Atkins doesn't want them playing 100 miles an hour running around. He wants them to do more work with the ball. He said after the Wolves game, didn't he? Because I think it was AD, I can't remember if it was AD or Tim, was saying, you have three ball player midfielders on in Cole, Guthrie and Norwood instead of a ball winner. And Atkins' response was, but if you're keeping the ball and playing with it, you don't need to win as many tackles.
Yeah, but you need to get the ball in the first place to play with it.
And that was it. and the problem was for Reading, again, they've conceded an absolutely stupid goal to start with. Cross comes in, Jordan Obita, a weak defensive header, just sort of flicks it backwards so it's in play still. Ball comes back across, people are missing their markers, and it's fired in.
Not only that.
4 minutes down, you're golden.
Not only that, if you go back to that goal, if you watch it, even when I'm training the kids and my boys play sort of under-10s football, I always tell them, stop the cross, stop the goal. Robson Kanu, he done what I think is the cardinal sin. He's gone in to make a tackle, the mate has gone to cross it, and he's turned his back on the play. That's what little kids do. He's a professional footballer, 25 years old, big unit that he is, and he's turned his back on someone putting the cross. Now, say he's going to jink past him, think, oh, I've seen him turn his back once. This time I'm going to pretend I'm going to cross it. He turns his back, see you later on. That's pathetic from a professional footballer. Absolutely pathetic, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and Renan falls into a trap at one.
Fuming about it.
Yeah, he is. He's visibly shaking. He's hulking up over there.
You know what I mean?
Come on, come
in, his green
shirt. That sort of thing enrages me because he's 25, 26, 27 years old. He's round about, should be at his peak, and he's turned his back on plays.
I've got many words to say about how Robson Kanu, but I'm saving this for pub chat.
Keep it. To try and keep
the anger.
Oh, can we have another go as well?
But Johnny, if you thought that was bad and slightly comical, the second goal is worthy of the Benny Hill show.
Yeah.
Because and it starts with a bit more of an innocent mistake. Aaron Cole takes a bit of a turn and sort of half slips and the ball gets nicked off him. Bad, but there's a whole line of covering defenders. It should be okay. Oh no, what's that? Alex Pearce is on his ass. Oh God, goal.
I mean, I think the worst thing for me is the Brentford striker actually falls over as well as he's trying to take the shot.
Calamitous.
But then it rolls.
Pearce is flailing on the play. He's swimming on.
And you can sort of hear the Reading fans go, "Way!" And then it's fired in, and suddenly, you know, it's entirely a different cheer.
Absolutely calamitous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for Aaron Cool because, and you know, he does something which I like in professional football is he looks round before he gets the ball, and clearly he sees, all right, there's not much danger. I've got time to control this and take it down, and you know, pick my pass or whatever. But for whatever reason, you know, hit a slight slip and miscontrol. Brentford in on goal, but I mean, what is it? I think five Reading players are on the deck.
Yeah.
When the ball hits the back of the net, you know, two of them are sliding to try and stop the goal, but three of the others have done what they're doing.
Can I just say something? Something I remembered because I was listening to Radio Berkshire commentary and comical. I love listening to the phone afterwards because I wonder what people have been taking during the game because this guy's rung up and he's got a point to a certain extent, but what he said afterwards was just pure stupidity, right? He said, the problem with Reading is there's not any experienced heads in that side to sort of bring the youngsters through. Which, okay, you could say, right, fair enough, there probably isn't. I mean, you've got Murray up front, but sometimes you need someone in midfield or at the back, don't you, to talk people through games. Like Igor Marston used to a certain extent.
Yeah, or even Gorks.
And that was his next thing he said. He said, what they should do is ring up Kasper's Gorks and get him back. Kasper's Gorks has been finished for 3 years. You don't want him telling people
If you could ring up and get a time machine of the Kasper's Gorks from 3 years ago,
exactly.
By all means. But Gorks was in the side last year and they were still making
mistakes.
And they
were a shambles in.
No, but I tell you what, would you or would you not? Mikael Edgewood came out for Golden Gamble, start of the season, first or second home game of the season, maybe a cup game. I thought, as that happened, God, if you were fit, I would bring you back. Just put you in that midfield.
It's a no-brainer.
Because he would do a better job in there than probably, and this isn't being harsh on Cole, but probably Aaron Cole with Oliver Norwood, or better than Hopakpan, or just as good as Hopakpan, because he is a presence. He can make a tackle, he can make a simple pass, and that is what we need. Someone in there to... You'll give me a blank look as if you're not agreeing there.
Well, no, I was just thinking about previous shows where I slated Mikael Edgewood, so I'm going to be careful what I say here. But what I will say about Mikael Edgewood, and I will say this about him, he's the best tackler I feel I've ever seen, just for nicking a ball. Just getting his toe there, nicking a ball off people.
Aside from that time he came on as someone got sent off.
It's an absolute no-brainer, really. He's not doing anything. He knows the system. He knows the club. I'm sure if you just gave him the sort of deal that they offered Baird, said, you got a three-month deal.
Prove yourself.
If you're playing well, you know, we'll stay on the side and we'll give you a longer contract. If not, another club comes in for you, like happened with Baird, with Burnley, you're off and you can go.
The question is he a better player than Hopakpan?
Well, Hopakpan's...
I didn't say that. Is he a better player than
Hopakpan? I think he is.
Well, I think he is.
The thing is, he's had an injury and we haven't seen him in a while, so...
I'm going to say no.
But and the other issue is, we're getting Karachan back, we're getting Williams back in a while, admittedly. So then you're going to have an even bigger stash of central midfielders.
But that's why you get him on a very short-term deal.
Yeah.
I think someone probably would have snapped him up if he was anywhere near fitness. I imagine his agent is doing the rounds.
There is a point there that he might take another 3 months to get fit and then it'd be no good anyhow, so it's hardly worth it. But I just think sometimes they're a bit... If I was an opposing manager... Actually, I'll put this question to you two. If you was the opposing manager, how would you say how to beat Reading?
Go at the defence.
Yeah.
Oh, run at them.
Not only run at them, but put high balls into the box because we're struggling. We said last week, corners, we look very susceptible to conceding goals. Free kicks, we look susceptible to conceding goals.
Yeah.
This week, that's happened. You know, as corners come in, Reading got nowhere near it. They look light in the air and they look light on the floor. And against teams that are going to bully you, big strong teams, you're going to get beat.
I think you just put three in the middle. I mean, yeah, you know, you've got two lightweight central midfielders in there. If any opposition managers are listening, then
don't say this.
Yeah, you know, we've got two in the middle who are relatively lightweight, and if you've got Guthrie in there, not the quickest around the park. Simple 1-2 passes, isn't it? Pass and move.
Yeah.
You know, you're beat in the middle of the park, then you're at the back four.
Shut Reading down quickly and just play big balls into the box and Reading will be all over the show.
Well, let's go back to this game then. Brentford, a team that's come up from League One, they're in fairly decent form, they've been playing okay, but they're not well beaters, let's be completely honest with you. The thing that really annoyed me about this game, and I was sat in amongst the home ends, I was in hospitality, I've probably mentioned this before, I'm not bragging, I am bragging a little bit. Anyway,
humble brag.
So you could hear the Brentford fans, and they were a bit nervous because Reading were still coming at them, and they did have good possession in action areas and stuff, but they just couldn't do anything with the ball. And the man that drove me at the wall for this, Nick Blackman, and there's two schools of thought here, because Becca, who did our match report, gave him, she thought he was her man of the match, because in her opinion he'd at least given it a go and he'd gone at the defence and he'd got into the box and things like that. And I can very much see that point of view. But then what drives me up the absolute wall is the fact that he gets into those positions and he doesn't do anything with it. How many goals do you think Nick Blackman has scored from open play since he joined Reading?
Two.
Slightly more than that.
Three.
Go up.
Three and a half.
Yeah, he's got three and a half. Right, he only scored from, what, a yard at Bolton, wasn't it?
Okay. Oh, so were you actually going to say three and a half?
No, Derby. Oh. No, he scored four goals in open play and he's played, I think, about 50-odd league games now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is disappointing for a player who's a forward-thinking player.
I mean, a million-pound
player.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Nick Blackman is he's clearly got the ability to do this stuff, but he tries to do it too much. I think back to the Wolves game, 3-0, where we had a free kick last minute, 40 yards out. You think, all right, knock it into the box, someone gets their head on it, but Blackman sees the headlines. He piles one in from 40 yards and, you know, it clears Rosette.
I think London Irish
would be proud of that one.
I think that came from the week before that, where he took a free kick against Sheffield Wednesday and the keeper made a really good save. So I bet he thought, well, I could hit it from here.
But he's clearly got the ability to do it, but he thinks he can do it all the time.
It's decision making.
I would be very interested to know if Reading's players are following a plan too much, as in they're so trying to stick to a Nigel Adkins plan that it's overriding their natural instincts, or if they've just got bad natural instincts. Because I think it's one of the two, because they're making some stupid decisions at both ends of the pitch.
I think you're right. I think Adkins tries to overcomplicate football. I really do. I think he overcomplicates it. It's not as difficult as he'd like to make out. I mean, why Simon Cox sat on the bench? He was our top scorer. I said at the start of the season he'd be our top scorer. He's looked dangerous every team he's played against. And even when he doesn't play well, he's a constant threat. And he sat on the bench at Brentford. I mean, it's ridiculous. If he's not fit, like I said on the radio, if he's not fit, why is he on the bench? And if he is fit, why isn't he starting?
Well, he clearly was fit. He got 45 minutes.
Exactly. He scored. He comes on at half-time. Reading immediately get a bit between the teeth. Go for it. Get that goal. Mackie and Cox, two half-time subs, combine really well. And Reading are going for this. They get a lot of corners. And again, this I'm getting a bit exasperated on this show, but the corners were awful. How many times were they hitting the first man? And a corner kick is surely something you can practice on the training ground.
Yeah.
It's not something that changes.
No.
Just practice getting the ball in. And the amount of times I hit the first man drove me up the wall.
No, they don't, Wim. If you are doing that, wasn't one of the players think, well, actually, he's hit the front man quite a bit. Why not go and stand in front of the front man for a flick-on? Yeah. You know, it's not rocket science, is it? It's not that difficult. You think, well, he's under it a few of these. I'm going to make my run to the front post. But Daniel's stand there like statues.
So Brendan are pouring forward. They're getting chance, but they're not really creating out and out chance. Getting a lot of corners, a lot of action areas. Brentford get a corner at their end and go and score it. Now, I think it's a foul. Nigel Adkins is complaining after the game. The only player on the day that was moaning was Oliver Norwood, who was really having a go at the ref. The guy's climbed all over the back of him. I can't remember who he's climbing over now. But he's climbed all over the back of him and nodded it in. That's game over. Although Reading had got three players left on the halfway line, including Pogge, who's one of your best defenders from a corner. So
yeah,
make it that what you wish. I think you do that if it's 2 minutes from the end, not 10 minutes from the end. But it's a side point. And that's killed the game off and Reading have slumped to defeat. So they've been beaten 3-1 by Brentford and they're now in the bottom half of the table. You can take getting beat by a team like Forest or a team like Norwich or even a team that were in dynamite form like Wolves. It's not good when you're losing to teams like Brentford, Huddersfield, Sheffield Wednesday.
It's the same as last year, isn't it? Same teams that beat us last year. Barnsley, Sheffield Wednesday, all these teams down the bottom. They're the ones that turned Reading over and it's been the same since year dot, I think. Seems to be, anyway. Wherever Reading play a team you think they're going to turn over, they get beat. And whenever you play a team you think they're going to get beat by, they end up turning them over.
And like again, to me, Westy, that suggests that Reading aren't very good, aren't a very good team at thinking. Because it's against those lower teams when you do have a little bit more time to think about things and you have to make the right decision. Sometimes when you're playing better teams, you've got less time to think. You go on your instincts. And that's why against the better teams, I think they sometimes play above themselves because they just go with it and adapt. When they have the ball a lot and they have to actually make active decisions, they have that extra second or so, they're making the wrong ones and it's costing them points.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I think it's an issue of, again, against the bigger teams, we get a little bit more space because, you know, the other sides like to come and attack us. Whereas, you know, as we said, if we can't break down 11 men, you can pass it around the defence all you want. You can play it out to the wing. They can play it back. If they've got 11 men behind the ball, we're not getting past them because there's not that spark. There's not that creativity. And even since we brought in Murray and Cox, we still haven't dominated a game. We still haven't put in a full 90 minutes of football.
Only possibly Fulham, but again, they would have 10 men.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, it's easy to say. You know, and possibly up at Wigan, although, you know, we were 90 seconds away from winning that match, but, you know, they got it in the end. What I want to see from a Reading side is that bit of passion, like we saw from Brentford, where they are first into every challenge, where they are running at defenders, where they're taking a bit of a chance, not necessarily like Nick Backman taking a chance all the time, but, you know, having a go and, you know, putting three or four passes. I mean, we were having this exact same discussion last season. When are we going to put four past the team?
Yep.
We've done three against Fulham, but they were down to 10 men. We haven't looked like doing that this season.
No. Yeah, and apart from that game, that most of the games could have gone either way, and that's exactly as it's panned out. I mean, in general, most of them games we've played this year could have gone either way. The odd ones we've won, the other ones we've drawn, the other ones we've got beat.
There hasn't been a game where we've drawn and I've come out of it thinking we really should have won that, or we deserve to win. Or we've lost and said, oh, we deserved at least a point from that.
So some of the games we've won, I've looked at and thought we didn't deserve to win them.
Well, we're going to take an overall look at the first quarter of the season in pub chat. So I'll save some more general thoughts for that. But in the meantime, let's roll on to News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tarhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. Only a couple of bits of news to report this week. It's International Fortnight. I'm sure you're all very much looking forward to England San Marino and England Estonia.
Thursday night and Sunday night, that's a strange one, isn't it?
It's part of this whole new UEFA international weekends thing where they're trying to spread out the games a bit more.
It seems to me like they're trying to get them more fit for the clubs, but that's just me being a cynic. It used to be Saturday, Wednesday, and then they come back on the Saturday and play
that
a game.
That made more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is, but it is International Fortnight. Reading do have quite a few players wearing international duty. We mentioned last week, Hope Akpan is going to report to the Nigeria squad, so best of luck to him. Yeah. Mm. Alex Pearce is away with the Republic of Ireland, and Wales have a trio of Reading players, all of whom will probably be looking for a decent performance after some inconsistent ones. Hal Robson-Kanu, Jake Taylor and Chris Gunter all away with Wales. Hopefully some of Gareth Bale's magic will return.
Be nice.
With Hal Robson-Kanu.
Wales is virtually full of Reading players now, or ex-Reading players. We've got four in the national
side. Church is in around it, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it?
I tell you what, it's good for Jake Taylor as well, because he got called up last time, and manager's seen enough in him to bring him back in again. Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't just...
Or he's seen enough of Robson-Kanu to think, I better bring someone else back in again.
Well, anyway, to those guys there, Stephen Kelly's injured and is ruled out of the Republic of Ireland squad. There's also a number...
What's happened to Stephen Kelly?
Just injured.
Is he just...
It's
just poor. But
your vicious words against him on this podcast have damaged him so that he can't face...
It's a psychological injury.
Exactly. So those are a few of the international call-ups. You can read a full preview of the International Week over on thetarlesen.com, where Mark has lovingly crafted an international preview. The only other interesting bit of news over the past week was a bit of an injury update from Nigel Adkins after the Brentford game. Danny Williams posted to his Instagram a picture of him running with a football. But unfortunately, Nigel Adkins has poured cold water on thoughts that means Williams is just around the corner, saying it's very early days in his rehab. And he's still expected to be out for another month.
Well, I think Jem did something similar, didn't he? Yeah. And then he had a setback. Yeah. So, you know, it's probably one of these, let's keep it on the down low. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
No, and Atkins, he could be starting next week.
Still, any step forward is very welcome when it comes to Danny Williams. The other two injuries. You know, we mentioned that Hope Akpan and Danny Guthrie both missed the Brentford game with slight knocks. It seems that Danny Guthrie's got a hamstring injury again. And Nigel Adkins, reading his comments, he seems quite mystified and frustrated with the injuries, because it's not the first time now Danny Guthrie's come back in and then gone out again quickly. Every time he seems to be getting up to speed, he's injured gone. Again.
Yeah, it's getting a bit tedious, really. He seems to come back, see him for 2 weeks, and then disappears again for another month. It's a bit odd.
How long... A lot of people have had these... I don't want to call them conspiracy theories, but a lot of people have been very critical of the Reading medical setup over the last 18 months.
Hey, you're coming round to us, Dan. You played it down at the start.
But this is what I was about to say. I've tried playing this down for as long as I can, but the amount of, and it's not just the amount of injuries, but it's the recurrence of injuries and players breaking down quickly after coming back. Is it, surely now it's time to have a look at that setup and say, what are we doing wrong? Because this is out of the ordinary.
It was the same last year though, wasn't it?
But this is what I'm saying.
Back end of last year. It's not just this season. It's been for the last two seasons.
They missed Gareth McAleary's broken back.
Yeah, that is unforgivable really, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, no, I mean, not too much to say. And the thing is, like, as you know, as you say, Williams and Karachan, long-term injuries, but the amount of small knocks that seem to keep happening, like, you know, Hope Akpan, Danny Guthrie, as we said, and Hector missed a game, Federici's missed a game as well a couple of weeks ago, and they seemingly all seem to be on the training ground rather than anywhere else. Strange.
I can't personally criticise the medical department, and I'm positive that those in there are doing their very, very best. But there is some part of the process that's going wrong. That or there's some sort of voodoo curse on the Reading injury room.
It's not as if they're old, sort of getting towards the end of their career.
It's not Jason Roberts.
Is it? You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. It's not Jason Roberts. These are players that are in their prime, sort of 25, 26, 27. And they're breaking down every other week.
In their prime and Hal Robson-Kahn.
Yeah. I know this. I know they changed the sports scientist, didn't they, last year?
And we often hear on Berkshire that they do these warm downs. Even if you haven't played, you do a sort of 40-minute workout
see,
after the game.
I don't buy all this nonsense of warm downs. I don't see what running around makes any difference after a match, to be honest.
Well, something's not going right because these players are picking up and getting recurring injuries. And think, as I said, maybe it is just completely bad luck. But the evidence at the moment is suggesting that it's something else, and it's something that needs to be looked at.
I'll tell you what, the frustrating thing is it's in a department where we are understocked at the moment, let's be honest. You know, with Akpan and Guthrie suddenly getting these injuries, now you've only got Norwood and Cool.
Yeah.
As your senior midfielders, and Cool's hardly senior anyway.
Yeah, he's a boy.
You know, we tried Hector in the middle, but if you put Hector in the middle, then Cooper needs to come in. Tried Abita in the middle, but if you put Abita in the middle, then someone has to come in at left back. So it's in an area where we very much could do without any more.
Yeah, the one bit of good news with those two is that Adkins did seem to suggest that they weren't, that they would be back in contention after the international break. They didn't sound like they were long-term problems. So hopefully the pair of them, he said Akpan was very close to making it, but didn't quite get round to the Brentford game. So fingers crossed they'll both be fit for Derby.
Maybe he was just thinking because they've got an international break coming up, why risk them? You know what I mean? Why risk them? Maybe. I don't know.
And the other thing is if Akpan's travelled with Nigeria, then presumably he's fit. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see and how those injuries clear up. As for the other couple of long-term absentees, Gareth McCleary and Jim Carricher, no real updates. But as we discussed with Charles on the latest podcast extra, I think Jim's targeting around the end of this month to start stepping up football activities. And Gareth McCleary shouldn't be too far behind.
I mean, some of these injuries are ridiculous as well. I mean, you've got Sean Cummins, who plays, what, 3 games a year. You've got Stephen Kelly, who plays no games a year. How are they getting injured? You got Anton Fern who didn't play for a year and he gets injured as well. It's ridiculous. What are they doing?
Answers on a postcard. If you're the Reading medical department, send us an email and we'll gladly read it out and give your side of the story.
Training must be hard at Reading, let's put it that way.
I could film a good episode of Holby City there, couldn't I?
You could, yeah.
Remember 999?
Holby Park.
Yeah. It must look like the extras from Thriller when they come out of the training ground. That's the all of them. Stuff falling off them and them limping about.
Not been the easiest time, and they've had to forget about extending the stadium, extend the treatment room first. Anyway, that just about wraps up News Bites.
Talking of extending, McCleary's contract.
Yeah, very good point.
Good link.
I'd almost forgotten. Gareth McCleary signs a new 3-year contract at the football club.
Good.
We had discussed not a couple of hours before on the podcast extra about how it was getting a bit nervy that none of these senior players were getting new deals. But Gareth McCleary is the first, and hopefully the first in many to follow, because a lot of players are out of contract.
I'd be surprised if they re-sign a lot of them. I mean, who else has run out? Guthrie is coming towards
Robson, Canu, Pearce, Federici,
Gunter.
I think it's easier to name the people that aren't out of contract.
You'd probably keep Gunter, wouldn't you? Federici, I'm not sold on him, but they'd probably keep him.
The thing is, you'd have to replace them.
And Pearce, they'd probably keep him.
Yeah, Guthrie.
Guthrie, get rid of him.
Hector?
No, Hector's just signed. No,
he's signed. Guthrie's, like I say, he's become more and more a bit of a waste of space, to be fair.
Oh, harsh.
Well, he is, don't he? Because he doesn't... What's he contributing recently?
Well,
nothing.
That'll link us into our pub chat discussion.
I'll still keep jumping in, having a go at
people. He does. He's chomping at the bit.
Well, I don't think I'm wrong.
I'm not sure I'm going to disagree with you in a minute. But yeah, McCleary's 3-year contract. It's a good bit of business as well for him, because he was getting a lot of interest, apparently, in the summer from Premier League clubs. So the fact that Redden have been able to convince him to stay... not only tells me that he's been sold on the project, but that Reading are actually prepared to spend Wedge, because
actually got some money.
Yeah, because I doubt he would have taken, you know, reduced terms given. I know he's injured, so that might affect it a slight bit, but signing up for 3 years.
When his contract's coming to an end, yeah. You can pick a club. No way. They must have given him a decent wage rise, I'd have thought. But again, like you just said, Johnny, how are you going to replace a player like that without spending $6-7 million?
Yeah.
You're not.
Very good bit of business, but right. Time now for Westy to be able to get in some players. Let's move on to pub chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, welcome back to pub chat. It's hard to believe, but we are now just about a quarter of the way through the season already. 11 out of 46 games been played. We're already out of one of the cups. So, you know, it's beyond that point where you say, oh, well, it's very early days in the season. We don't know what we're going to get. We've got a good chunk of games to be able to base a lot of... not just individual performances, but the team performances and where the manager's going. Obviously, we've just spent a long time lamenting the injury crisis. That's played a factor. But what I wanted to do was go through the squad as it's played the season, not spend too long on each player, but a very simple system. We're going to give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down if we think they're on the right course.
And we can't sit on the fence.
No. I think we've done hit, miss or maybe before, haven't we? So, yeah. Something like that. Good.
So we're going to start. We're going to go through our spreadsheet that we've been keeping from the Tarlhurst End that takes on all the match ratings this season. So we're going to start with Adam Federici, who's got an average rating of 6.4 this season. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Johnny, I'll start with you.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up?
Are we allowed to comment on him?
Yeah, by all means.
I think, you know, briefly. As we've said, his command of his box isn't the best, but
poor.
He's a decent shot stopper, and I don't think you're going to get many keepers as good in the Championship.
Federici is at his level. He's a Championship goalkeeper. I think whenever he's gone into Premier League, he's been exposed quite quickly. He doesn't command his box well enough for me, but saying that, his kicking's extremely good and he is a good shot stopper. I don't really want to give him a thumbs up or a thumb down, but on general basis, I'll give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go thumbs up as well. I think it's only really one of the Millwall goals where I've really sat there thinking, oh, Fedders. Mm. And to be fair, even Alex McCarthy had the odd goal last year where I thought that's bad play. So, as you said, his kicking's been fantastic.
He just needs to be a bit quicker, though. What I do like about McCarthy that I don't like about Federici is when McCarthy got the ball, he was quick to release out of his hands, throw it out, whatever he had to do, he got it out as quickly as possible. Federici tends to hang on to the ball for far too long sometimes, and he slows the play down. And then all he can do is aim for Blackman, because that's all the only ball he's got on. Mm.
Still, generally, I'm pretty...
Generally, he is a 6 out of
He's got 3 thumbs up. He's through to the next round. Mikel Anderson, who's only played one league game, but he's got a 7 out of 10 for it, finally made his Reading debut after 7 years of very patient service on the bench in half a dozen clubs on loan. He said he only had 1-2 chances if you include the cup game. Sim, were you comfortable enough with him as a backup?
He's not really had a lot of action to judge him, honestly, to be fair to him. But again, he's waited patiently. I think he is a good goalkeeper, but... to say he's up or down is difficult based on one game where he didn't really have a shot to save.
Mm. Yeah, what he said.
I'm going to give him a thumbs up based on the fact that I didn't think, oh God, I'm really nervous with this guy in goal.
Yeah,
he's a perfectly good backup. So he gets a thumbs up.
He deserves a thumbs up for his patience.
Yeah. His experience, you know, you say he's been here 7 years, but he's been on loan every year, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, do a job.
The thumbs up for me as well then?
Yeah, may as well.
Three more thumbs up. You're also into the knockout round.
After the pessimism of the first half hour, we're giving out a lot of thumbs up here.
Calm down. This is what we do. We try and balance things out. Right.
Yeah, these things even themselves out over the course of a podcast.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Jake Cooper, a player who's made his first appearances in professional football full stop this season for Reading. He's played only a couple of games. He's only made one start in the league up at Sheffield Wednesday, where unfortunately he did give away the penalty for the goal. But, you know, he's still chirped in with a couple of good sub-appearances, and at the moment he's on a 6.5 out of 10 average rating. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Westy?
I like the look of Jake Cooper. I think he's good, big and strong in the air. He looks like a centre-back. And I think it's become increasingly difficult, the way things have been the last couple of weeks, to not have him in the side. Although he did make a mistake against Sheffield Wednesday. That was just inexperience. But if you want to point it in experience, you can point it after the team.
I think, he's that third centre-back, able deputy to come in. And as you said, you know, first professional start, he's only 18, 19. He's got the height. I think he needs to bulk up a bit, but that'll come with time. He needs to get a game, you know, in terms of playing football. But, you know, knowing strikers and, you know, knowing how to
I think Cooper has looked like a championship centre-back in the times I've seen him already.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not sure, but I haven't seen enough of him to say I would feel comfortable with him spelling one of the two centre-backs for 6-7 games in a row.
Wow. I'm not too comfortable with Pierce most of the time, and he's been there for years. So
I would like to see Jake go out and play week in, week out for a side like Michael Hector did, where he went off to Aberdeen and he, you know, had spells at Barnet and places like that.
I'm just saying Cooper looks the part, and from what I've seen him, he has, apart from he did give that stupid handball away, but apart from that, and I mean, he played in the cup. Where did he play when he started the game? Away in the League Cup? Can't remember off the top of my head, sorry.
They played. They beat Newport at home in the cup.
Yeah.
And then they won 1-0 away at Scunthorpe.
At Scunthorpe, I think he got man of the match, and they said it'd be very difficult to be dropped the next week, and he was dropped next week. So, I think Cooper's more than capable of holding his own in this league, and that, at his age and the way he is at the moment, because he's not had a lot of experience, I think that's testament to him.
So thumbs up.
Yeah, definite thumbs up.
Johnny? Thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah, thumbs up for me. So three thumbs up out of three. Right, Sean Cummings. Injured at the moment, but he did start four games. Got his first goal for Reading Football Club, and a game that earned him a Man of the Match award. But that was the high point in the very first game of the season. An average rate of 6.25. Thumbs up or thumbs down, Johnny?
I think you've got to give him a thumbs down, really. You know, he had that Man of the Match performance, but we know what he is, really.
Oh, do we?
Well, he's been playing again on the left. And it's not his natural position, is it? He did a job, but he's not a left back.
Yeah, I think Sean Cummins is so hit and miss, isn't he? He does tend to come and have one good game, and everyone says, oh, it's nice to see Cummins back. And then next week, he looks abysmal. So I'm giving him a thumbs down, and I think he needs to be looking elsewhere.
He's a younger version of Chris Makin.
Cummins is all right, but he doesn't stir anything.
This is what I mean.
He doesn't stir anything in you, does he? You know what I mean?
Like Chris Makin, you didn't mind him spelling Murty or Shorey for a game or two. Anything longer than that, and you're like, I don't really want him playing too much.
Yeah, but at least Makin was a steady sort of player, wasn't he?
Well, I think Cummins is pretty steady.
No, I don't know about Cummins. Sometimes he looks all right, and other times you think, But to be fair to him, he does have to fill it left back quite often. Oh, I'm still giving the thumbs down.
He's a good backup. You wouldn't want him for 46 games.
He needs to be looking elsewhere for a full-time.
Okay, then, so Johnny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Down.
Down.
It's got to be down, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm going to go down. So 3-1. Chris Gunter then.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Mm. Captain, he's played in every league game this season. He's one of only three ever presents alongside Abita and Pierce. His average rating is 6.36.
And that's about right.
So I'm going to go thumbs down, but this is simply because last season he was that typical 7 out of 10 player. This season he's looked a lot worse. I can't put it down to anything in particular, but he hasn't quite been the same player this year. I think maybe it's the captaincy, you know, in the absence of Cem Karacan, but I can't put it down to it, but he's just not as good this year.
No, again, Gunter, you'd be very hard-pressed to say, you know what, Gunter was brilliant today. He puts in steady performances, and he's fit and he's quick, but he's not the best right-back I've ever seen in my life. And for the money they paid for him, he should be doing a lot better, I think.
Well, he's gone from a steady 7 out of 10 last season to a steady 6.36.
Yeah. But he's another one, he doesn't stir a lot in you, does he, Gunter? He runs around a lot, and I think sometimes when he gets the ball in higher up the pitch, he puts in poor crosses.
The problem I have with him is he always looks backwards. And it must be tactical. It must be something Adkins has said. Don't hoof it down the line. Tactical hoofball, as we used to do with McDermott. But he would much rather pass it back to the centre-back or pass it inside to the centre midfielder than have a go, you know?
The thing is, they're asking him to play wide and get forward, and I don't think he's great at that. So I'm giving him a thumbs down because I think he should be doing better.
The one thing I'd say about Gunter is it's rare that Gunter has a mare of a game.
Yeah.
He's a solid player.
He doesn't, but it's not like, oh God, Chris Gunter, get him out of the team. He's awful. And for me, I'm going to give him a thumbs up because I think he's not had a lot of protection in front of him. He's done a decent job. Yeah, his final ball might be better, but you know, we're talking about Chris Gunter. He's not, you know, he's not Gary Neville.
The thing is with Gunter, you can see why he hasn't made it higher up because he isn't good enough. He didn't make it at Tottenham and he wouldn't make it anyone in the Premier League.
He got dropped by Reading in the Premier League. He got dropped for Cummings and Stephen Kelly.
And like, all I'm saying is for the money Reading paid for him, I expect him to be a top right back, but all you're really getting is a 6 and 7 right back and not an 8 and 9.
He's not a significant upgrade. If you played Sean Cummings there, I don't think Gunter gives you an awful lot more than what Cummings would give you. Or even Stephen Kelly. I know you're not a Stephen Kelly's biggest fan.
Yeah, I'd give you more than Stephen Kelly gives you, but you know... Gunter, he doesn't stir anything in you to say that he's bad, but he doesn't tell me that he's good.
Okay, well, I'm giving him a thumbs up. Johnny?
Down.
All right, he gets a down. So it's a split decision.
It'd have been interesting if we'd have done this after a win.
Up for two thumbs up. Love you, Gunts. Right, Michael Hector, club's official player of the month for August.
Definite thumbs up for me.
Johnny? Thumbs down from me.
Yeah, thumbs down.
Yeah.
I was going to say, his average rating is significantly less than Chris Gunter. It's 6 out of 10.
Yeah, but...
My problem with Michael Hector is I don't think he's quite a centre-back, and I don't think he's quite a central midfielder. I know we've got another player that looks like David Luiz in the team, Aaron Cole. But for me, Michael Hector, he doesn't quite convince me as a centre-back. It's something that's going to come with time, I'm sure, and with experience. But, you know, he got outgamed by Ricardo Fuller.
Yeah, he did get pushed around a bit, I must admit. He does get bullied, but again, you've got to give him the fact that he's still relatively young and learning this game. But I think as a footballer, he's very good. And to come into the Championship with having no experience at Championship level, I think he's doing all right.
Scottish Premier League.
It's just the games. I mean, looking at these ratings here, he's got too many fives. He's got too many and fours.
He's a very inconsistent.
I mean, look at it. We gave him 6 out of 10 at Wigan. He played the midfield in that game, to be fair. So when he's gone into the defence, an 8 against Ipswich, then a 4 against Huddersfield, 4 against Forest, an 8 up at Middlesbrough, 8 against Fulham, then drops down to 6 for Millwall, misses Sheffield Wednesday, 6 against Wolves, 5 against Leeds, 5 against Brentford. Hit and miss. And that's... A bit like, you know, some of these culture defenders, like a David Luiz type, who can be really impressive one day. They have a lot of the ball and they're spreading it around and, you know, using their pace to effect. But he makes errors. And I know that
he does make errors, but he will make errors. I don't know this for a fact, but if he had someone like Ingo Marsson next to him, I think Hector would be a much better player. Like when Williams had Dovcek next to him, made him a much better player.
Yeah, I think
if he had a better player with him than Pierce, he'd be much better than he is.
I think he's a player that has massive amounts of potential, but I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to give him a thumbs down.
Two downs and one up.
Yeah, I'm very it's one of those where I'm very much on the fence, but if I had to pick one, I'd go down.
Thumbs down then.
I'd go up.
Okay, 2-1.
Sean Morrison.
Let's not do Morrison. He's helped Cardiff.
He scored more goals than Alfie, hasn't he?
He has.
Oh, did you see his miss this week, Lafondres? He blazed that over.
Yeah. He's not got any confidence, has he?
Poacher, isn't he?
Good.
But yeah, for the fact that Cardiff are in the bottom half of the table, thumbs up.
Good but with Morrison, what we do miss about Morrison is his aerial presence, especially from attacking corners and defending corners, because at the moment we seem to be all over the show when it comes to that.
One goal, one game.
Yeah, agreed. Right, John Nabita, he is never present. He's averaged 6.27. Spent a bit of time in the midfield earlier in the season, but has predominantly gone back to left back.
It didn't really work when he went to centre midfield. I thought he was stepping far too back. He's playing
that Huddersfield game.
He needs a touchline. Wingers have a touchline to play with.
He was playing centre back in that game at times. Yeah. What are you doing back there?
Overall, though, I think he's been decent. I know he's had a couple of rocky moments against Wolves and against Brentford, but generally, I like him at left back. He is learning on the job, but generally, you get at least a steady performance from him.
Yeah, at the moment, has he been better than last year? That's the question.
Last couple of games, I mean, we said, you know, if we'd had a couple of wins. Last couple of games, he hasn't been that impressive, though. The whole team hasn't really been that impressive. And I think you're starting to see teams exploiting him at left back because they know he, you know, they're finding his weaknesses.
Yeah, and he made a bad decision the other week when he slipped over and kicked it straight in the back of another goal.
On the level of things, I'll go thumbs up, but you know, give it another 5 or 10 games, and we could.
I'm a Johnny with a thumbs up.
I think you can make an informed opinion on him at the end of the season from the whole year. At the moment, the last couple of games, you'd have to say he's not been that good. But again, I think he's a player that's got plenty of potential.
So, thumbs up?
And I'm saying thumbs up.
Right, Alex Pearce, another ever-present 6.45 average rating, which is one of the highest, certainly the highest out of the regular members of the back four.
Mm.
And up until, you know, we said on this podcast last week that he was one of the unsung heroes.
I said on this podcast last week, Alex Pearce has not made an individual mistake this late to a Then last week happened.
You notice in a theme here, when we back Reddings get lots of points, they don't. When we praise them, they don't. So hopefully after this...
We need a weekly flashback for you.
I think Pearce has been solid for most of the season. Again, he's got the, I wouldn't say unfortunate nature, but he's playing in a pretty inexperienced back four.
Mm.
It's either side of him. He's got a Hector and an Abita, which can't be easy. And I know he's quite experienced. He's played well over 200 games now, but he's never been the best at organising the defence. And the fact that he can't bail his teammates out of trouble because he's got no pace. And the turn of circle, what is it, a planet?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
doesn't help him. And his head's dropped a bit. I think that own goal against Derby's just shaken him a bit. And as the goal has been leaking into the team, he's not stepped up to the plate, and as I said, that error on Saturday was awful.
Also, we're struggling for a natural leader. Mm. You know, someone to drive people on when we're struggling. We talked about experience earlier, and Pearce is the experienced player at the back. And again, like you said, he doesn't
still
command that sort of respect.
I'm still going to give him a thumbs up, just because I think he's been okay. I don't think I'm still undecided if he's the long term answer. But for me, as you were saying for Hector, I agree with Pearce. I think Pearce just needs the right player alongside him.
I think Alex Pearce will always be an okay footballer, but you won't get much more than that out of him.
Thumbs up though or thumbs down?
I don't like him. Down.
Down.
I'm going thumbs up. Hector and Pearce in a couple of years could be a very good partnership.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't think it's gelling. I don't think they're working together.
Well, Pearce gets an up. Would have been on this 15 minutes. Right, let's speed this up. Hope Akpan, 6.38 rating out of 10. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I think for a player that's really been nowhere near the side over the last couple of years and just come and done cameras, I think he's doing all right. He gets a lot of stick, but Akpan, you know what you get from him. As long as he gets the ball and gives it to whoever's closest, then that's good enough for me.
If you look at the raw stats, we lose Akpan, we lose at Brentford. We lose Akpan at home to Millwall and concede... at home to Wolves and concede 3 goals. He comes off against Leeds and we look a lot worse. I think you've got to give him a thumbs up. He does the job better than anyone else is doing it at the moment.
He is different to all the others as well. And you need a bit of digging.
Yeah. Very much thumbs up from me. And that's 3 thumbs up. Mm. Ryan Edwards, player we probably didn't expect to see much of this season. Not been amazing. 5.5 average rating. 4 starts, 3 appearances off the bench.
I think he's a little bit out of his depth at the moment.
Yeah.
I think he's a bit light and he buzzes around a lot and tries hard, but he's never going to pull up trees, is he?
Yeah. I've not looked at a game and thought Ryan Edwards made the difference or Ryan Edwards has improved our chance of winning.
Or get Ryan Edwards on, you know what I mean? No.
He set one up for Tanner, didn't it? Was it Tanner or Stacey he set one up for?
What, in a League Cup?
Yeah, in a League Cup.
Against League 2 side.
Yeah. That's about his level at the moment.
Yeah, you know, he comes in, he does a job, he flits around, but he's just too light.
I don't mind him coming on as a sub to give you a bit of energy, but
he tries hard. But
he's that great one to bring on 10 minutes to go, you're holding on to a lead, he'll pressure them. And
based on probably what I thought, if I was basing this purely on what I thought of him, as in coming into season, I'd probably give him a thumbs up because I never thought he'd play, but unfortunately, in terms of his actual impact, I'm just going to have to give him a thumbs down because he's not been a difference maker yet.
No, me too.
Mm.
3 downs.
3, yeah.
Sorry, Ryan. Danny Guthrie.
Down.
Let's speed this up, shall we?
Johnny?
Well, no, I mean, you know, he came on against Wigan and he arguably changed the game. It's just, the thing is, we got very short memories and August, September of last year.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. It is a long time ago. But
he did come on the other week and he changed the game in their favour.
Yeah. I'm giving him a thumbs down, but I'm just saying. Danny Guthrie, August and September 2013, he was voted Player of the Month on our website.
Yeah.
And then he was around the team for the next 3 months. Then he got a lot of injuries. I think in the right system, Guthrie's good. But right now, he's a thumbs down because Norwood's better than him.
Based on this year, you can't really give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs down for me. They've said we completely lost control of the game against Wolves when he came on. He didn't help turn. He didn't.
He turned the tide in their favour.
Didn't produce anything against Leeds when he came on. didn't produce anything when he came on against Sheffield Wednesday. So
he was lucky against Wolves, he didn't get sent off because he put in two real late tackles.
Yeah. Mm. Thumbs downs all round. Right, Aaron Cole, are voted by yourselves, our listeners, as player of the month for August. I think his first real bad game of the season was at Brentford, and even then it wasn't a terrible game, it just wasn't a particularly good one. Wesley, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I think he will be a great player when he gets a good bit of experience behind him in more games. I don't think he's been great. Again, I think he's at the moment he's probably been batting around sixes. I can't see his stats there, but I'm guessing that's what he was
he's
getting.
He's 6.2, his average rate at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's been about a six player. He's definitely learning. He's got something about him. I think he'll be the sort of player to end up playing for Arsenal or someone, but it won't be for a little while.
What we need is we need Williams and Carrichan back and send Cole out on loan.
Yeah.
Because I think he could probably do a job in the Championship right now, like Jake Cooper could do a job in the Championship right now. But I wouldn't want to put that pressure on a young man's shoulders.
He needs a season under
him. I'm giving him a thumbs up because I thought when he comes on, he does offer something different and he tries. And just for that Huddersfield game alone, I think he gets a thumbs up from me because no one expects him to be anywhere near the first team and he's been starting games.
And that's the point. I mean, I remember saying about the under-21s now that none of them were playing that first team, and he's proved me wrong because he can do it. He ain't pulled up no trees, but I think he will. It's just a matter of time.
So thumbs ups?
Yeah.
Thumbs ups, cool. Thumbs up. Oliver Norwood, I think this is just, don't need to say too much, do we? Thumbs ups all
around? Yeah, he's definitely been a breath of fresh air, to be honest. I think he's been excellent.
Note of warning on him. Are they going to find him out like they found out Guthrie?
Quite possibly. I think he's a bit more mobile, though. It's just a case of he didn't out again. His passing was strangely off at Brentford. He was giving the ball away, but
I think he's got more about him than Guthrie, but I am worried that eventually teams will find him out and find out how to shut him down. But for now, he's been brilliant.
Well, he's got 6.5 out of 10, which is easily the highest rating of anyone that's played a significant number of games. If you just clear the likes of Anderson.
He's been a good signing so far.
I think is it right saying he's leading our player of the month? But we'll come on to a bit later.
He is indeed, yeah.
Yeah, we'll come on to that a bit later. Anyway, Jack Stacey played one game off the bench. Not really fair to judge him on that. Jake Taylor, he's played nine games. He's come off the bench once. 2 goals. But he's averaging 5.2.
Yeah, I think we spoke about Taylor, didn't we? The fact that he doesn't you don't notice he's out there, but you don't notice him doing anything wrong.
But he seems.
I'm torn on this one though. Yeah, he's got two big goals. He's got us 4 points this season. Does he get a thumbs up just on that?
I think I'm going to give him a thumbs up based on the fact that we didn't think he'd be anywhere near the side, and he has started a lot of matches.
Johnny,
I'm going to give him the thumbs down because.
Oh, don't do that! You put me in this position.
Yeah,
now.
You're a decision maker. Just because you know he has scored 2 goals, but he hasn't done anything else.
No, it's a good point. He hasn't, but he hasn't done anything wrong either.
No, he hasn't done anything wrong, and he's certainly the sort of player that will make it at this level, and could arguably be a good sub for us. But I think as soon as someone else is fitter and you know back in the side, they will be back in the
side. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I look at the stats though, and he's only he missed the Sheffield Wednesday game. We lost. He missed the Brentford game. We lost.
Stats aren't everything.
No, the thing is, he's not even that young, is he? It's not as if he's
18.
He's 21.
For the role and what he did, do you know what? It's the tiniest of thumbs ups I can possibly give.
Is he through to boot camp?
He's got a lot of work to do if he's to make it into.
I think
past the judges.
Like Johnny said, when someone else better comes back, just fit, it'll be out of
the side. Just about a thumbs up. Just, I've got a lot of problems with him, but he's got results.
But there's nothing. There's nothing negative to say about him, is there? That's what I'm saying. There's nothing to say. Wow, he hasn't done anything.
His negative is that he's not being too positive.
We don't see enough of him.
Yeah. Anyway, Robson Kanu down. Nick Blackman on to the next one. Anyone want to say anything about Robson Kanu?
No, I think I've said enough.
I've said I'm thinking of renaming our Christmas Reading FC under least improved player.
Just name it after him.
The Hal Robson Kanu Award.
I reckon we should get it made up and send it to him.
The only thing I'll defend him on is he has been injured.
But even when he's not injured, he's not great, is he? I think he's a one-trick pony. You see him do a step over and he neither runs out of play or falls over.
Next, Simon Church?
He's not even that good.
Ooh,
Simon Church tend to play for Wales now and again. No, I just don't like Robson Kanu.
So down. Right.
But I've said before, Robson Kanu, he shouldn't be.
No.
He should be a good player. You know, he should be, and he just doesn't do it, and that annoys me.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more. Nick Blackman. 9 games, 1 off the bench, 2 goals, and an average rating of 6.3.
I think he's been a lot better this year than he was last. I think he is pretty much one of the first names now for Atkins on the team sheet. I think he does give you an outlet from Federici's kick, Again, I think his decision making's poor, but I think based on the fact that he's improved from last year, I'm going to give him a thumbs up.
Johnny?
Yeah, I'm giving him a thumbs up. I mean, you can just tell by the fact that he's got the fans off his back. Him and Akpan were the two that, you know, we used to hate and cry to be substituted. But, you know, he looks like he's got something about him. We question his decision making. You know, he seems like a bit of a glory hunter, so to speak, in terms of wanting to,
yeah,
you know, get the headlines every game. Yeah. But, you know, if he can just rein that in and do right by the team, he can...
I know I criticised him a lot when we were talking about the Brentford game, but again, my criticism come from the fact that he did do so well and it just let himself down at the last minute. And also, he needs to cut out this falling down in the box.
Yeah.
Because he's getting a reputation quickly as someone that goes down. I know he's won a couple of penalties, but referees are soon going to pick up on the fact that this lad's always going down in the box.
The same player, yeah.
He needs to cut that out. I know sometimes he does, there is contact, but he's a big, strong lad.
Yeah.
I'm giving him a thumbs up. I think he has been good. I think he's certainly our best option to play out on the left with what we've got. He has shown an awful lot more than he did last season, and there is a lot of potential there. And as I said, my only frustration comes from the fact that, a bit like Robson Kanu, you've seen him do such good things. But then he's just let himself down. So he's close. He's very close to making a breakthrough. And I think if he gets a couple of goals, I think you could see quite a lot.
He's a definite threat. He has got a trick and he's quite quick and, like I say, strong. And I think he's definitely improved this year. So it's on basis on that, it's got to be a thumbs up.
Right, three thumbs up. Simon Cox.
Definite thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs unanimous.
I think he's been a great son.
Five goals already.
Is he better than Lafondre? Yeah, by a country mile. So yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, nothing much. So Jamie Mackey. 5.86 rating. Had a good game on Saturday, but I think that was probably about his first one since his debut, really.
I like Mackie. He tries hard. He's never going to be a world beater.
Yeah. I'm going thumbs down just because he hasn't had that much production yet.
No, he's
aside,
not.
Aside from that assist / missed shot, which led to Cox's goal, he hasn't really done that much.
Yeah, I'm a Johnny. I expected a lot more from Jamie Mackie. I really did, because he's a player I've always loved when he's played for QPR, for Plymouth.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
And he's just, I said, it says something to me that he's not getting in the team ahead of Jake Taylor and Harry Robson Kanu.
Yeah, that does tell you all you need to know, so, I guess. Which is a shame, because I think Mackie's a good player.
Yeah, might well have earned his chance with that good second half performance against Brentford.
I'm still going to give him a thumbs up, though. I think he'll come good.
I'm down, unfortunately.
I think he'll come good, but for the moment, thumbs down on what we've seen.
Fair enough.
Glenn Murray?
Again, he's been a bit hit and miss, really. I can't say he's been outstanding in all the
six
games.
Six and a half rating so far in his six games. Three goals. Should have been four, but missed the penalty.
Sheffield Wednesday, I thought he had a poor game, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
Missed big chances.
Yeah. But, again, he's our target man, and he's done relatively well since he's come in such a short space.
He's looked more of a goal threat to me than Pog.
Yeah, he looks a better player, all-round player, to be fair, than Pog Rebnow. He's got a better touch, and he holds the ball a lot better.
Thumbs up?
Yeah, definitely.
John? Definitely a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up from me as well. Speaking of Pogrebniak, big Pav.
It's been shocking this year.
I didn't think he did too badly in his games before Murray arrived.
But he doesn't look like he's going to score a goal, does he?
No.
No.
He never really has.
The unfortunate thing is, he's not a player that's going to make an impact off the bench.
No, he's not. The best game I've ever seen him have was Man City away, and I thought he was absolutely outstanding that day. He led the line brilliantly, but he doesn't do enough.
You worry as well. I personally worry now the fact he's not in the team every week. Is Zed going down? Is he thinking, my days are numbered? Am I really going to put my body on the line?
Yeah. He hasn't got one quality that you think, okay, Paul's going to come on and change it with his strength, pace, finishing.
Yeah, no, you're
all
right.
All of them.
He's got a good chant, though.
Murray's got just...
He's got a good fan song. So, on that basis.
I suppose really, Pog Brownett's a bit average with everything, isn't he? Average pace, average goal scoring ability, average in the air.
Which in its own isn't too bad an asset to have. Well, and you've got good support players around.
Well, Shaw's average to get £50,000 a week. Are we well shot for that?
Yeah. It's going to have to be a thumbs down, though, isn't it?
It's going to have to be, yeah.
Mm.
I like him. I've always liked him. I'm really rooting for him to do well, but now that Murray's here, it's hard to see him getting back in the team.
I think he's now getting to the stage where he's just going to dial it in for the next couple of years.
I hope he doesn't, but yeah.
Pogrebniak's another one. He should be doing better with the reputation he turned up with.
Thumbs down, then. Do we really want to grade Craig Tanner? Come off the bench a couple of times.
I don't think we can, really.
No, we can't, really. I'll say, based on the fact that another player you wouldn't have thought been anywhere near the side and he scored a goal, let's give him a thumbs up.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
he's done better than last year.
Let's end it on a positive. Thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to look at how we've sort of graded the first 11 games, and how it's been pretty average. Season average for all the players, 6.06,
which
is pretty much
far right. Yeah,
average, and it sums up. You know, it looks. You know, you go by performances. You know, August very up and down. The average was 6.01. September that went up to 6.47, and then in October so far it's been 5.6.
Mm. Yeah, it's not far off the mark, is it? To be fair.
So yeah, I think that sums it up. So yeah, we'll try and keep that updated. But that's been a bit of an epic pub chat. But you know, you get more because we're off next week. So you know, you maybe pause it halfway through. Although if you're hearing this, you've already listened to it all. So I probably should have given that advice at the start. Anyway, that gives our thumbs up and our thumbs down. Let's move on to your questions, thoughts, tweets, and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Right, time to answer some of your tweets. As you've just heard, at the Tarlhurst End is a place you can get hold of us. If you do tweet us in, try using the hashtag TTE podcast. It just makes it a little bit easier for us. And have my thanks if you do so. But if you tweet us generally, we get them. Facebook.com/Tarlhurst End. You can also send us an email if you've got some longer thoughts. TheTarlhurstEnd@gmail.com. Plus, threads in the Raw's Rendezvous and Hobnob. Anyone. Right, let's get on to it. First question comes from Phil Sanders. He says, guys, what's your first choice midfield with everyone fit? And then what's your choice with the players that are fit now? With all due respect, go back and listen to our last show where the same question comes up. It does come up every week. And it comes up with us on the podcast extra as well.
And the reason why we're not going to do it this time is in case we say something different than we did last week.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's going to be pie in the sky. We're never going to be able to field that first choice. We're never going to have all six of them available to go, right, who are we going to pick? And then it's who do we put on the bench?
Okay, well, yeah.
It's never going to happen.
No, I should worry about
never,
it.
Ever all going
to
be fit.
And
some people saying they're the same person, that's why we never seem together.
Phil Cannon also said,
basically are,
a question for you guys, something about the midfield. Again, I think we've done the midfield. Anthony Kendrick, regular Twitter to the show. Thank you for getting in touch again, Anthony. He says, how disappointed would you guys be to see Nigel not dip into the loan market? Glaring holes need filling short term.
Do we need a centre-back?
I don't think we imminently need a centre-back. I don't think we need to necessarily dip into the loan market, but I'd like to see in January, and certainly going forward, that we bring in at least a left-back. And possibly a centre back so that we can ship Cooper out on loan. Because if Ferdinand ever gets fit.
Maybe. I think Atkins should be doing alright with what he's got, to be honest. I think he should be doing alright with the team he's got.
I can't stress the need for a left back enough. And do you know what? If only because. I was thinking this the other day. Who's Jordan Abita learning off on that training ground as a left back? Who's putting his arm around his shoulder going, you know, a little bit of experience, mate, from my time here. What, Stephen Kelly, who's a right footed.
Oh,
well,
God. There's no wonder his career's going downhill then.
Well, exactly. You know, if Stephen Kelly's got an Ian Hart there, or a player like that that's played the position, played a couple of hundred games there, that can go. Bit of advice for you.
Yeah, you've convinced me we should get left back.
So, and yeah, and a centre back as well. I suppose that was the thought theory behind bringing in Ferdinand, that he would be the experienced centre back on the bench, but.
If you've convinced him, now you just need to get Nigel's number, don't you?
Yeah.
Nigel.
No, you should definitely. Yeah, you're right. We're left back, and yeah, you're right.
The only reason I say as well is because I'm convinced that Abita at one point is going to go into Atkins' office and say that I don't want to play left back. So he doesn't.
No, I agree. Darren Collins says, now that seniors are coming back, is it time to release some of our young players who've made it into the first team on loan?
I think we just covered that, didn't we?
When they do come back, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if we put cool out on
you don't just then. Need them back. You need them back and playing regularly because otherwise, last thing you want to do is let someone out on the basis, Danny Guthrie's back. And then Darren Caskey
wouldn't
get him back.
Wouldn't want him back.
He can be left back in the changing room.
He'd be Atkins type player. Just spray the ball about.
I bet he could still take a free kick. He'd probably take a corner better than we would take
on
Saturday.
Wouldn't mind his goals from midfield.
George Williamson said, once dip into the loan market, but what defenders are available that improve the squad? Not many.
No, they definitely. The thing is, there's got to be players sat on benches in the Premier League that don't get a game regularly that Reading could go and pick up.
I mean, I think we sort of covered it off last week. And you got to, you know, unless you have the squad lists, you know, to account and, you know, agents are phoning you up saying, look, I've got a defender here. He's not in the Premier League squad or he's not getting a game and manager's happy to let him go. I don't think we can do a sort of Football Manager style thing and go on Wikipedia and have a look at how who's been playing and who hasn't and going,
yeah,
oh, I want him. Nigel, why don't you do something about it? Because I'm sure he would if he could, you know?
Yeah, you would very much like to think so. But Paul Dawson makes that point. He says, as I'm guessing Anton isn't going to make an impact anytime soon, what other options are there defensively and loan who? So, I mean, there isn't. He's stuck.
Thing is, it's not our job to go around looking for players, is it? We're just here to speculate on what it should be doing.
Is it Steve Shorey who's still in the scouting department?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. People get paid to do that job and let them go.
Missed an opportunity. Brian McDermott's apparently signed a deal to go back to Arsenal scouting.
Mm.
So, moving swiftly on, Rusty Royal questioned the fact that Nick Blackmore was leading the fan vote for Man of the Match against Brentford.
What was his exact comment?
He basically responded to the tweet saying, is that a wind-up? That Blackburn was leading.
Yeah, how many laptops has he got?
Clearly not.
I'm going to also take this point to thank everybody who's tweeted in voting for us for the Football Blogging Awards. Quite a few of you have taken the time to do it. I really, really appreciate it. There is an article on the Tarlhurst End. If you click on that article, there are three links that will literally make the tweet for you. If it takes you any more than 30 seconds, I'll give you your money back. It's a money-back guarantee. It won't take you very long. And it is very much appreciated by the three of us. Charles as well from the Podcast Extra and all the writers. So if you do enjoy what we do, you know, pumping out all this content at you for free, please just give us a couple of clicks and it'll make us all that little bit happier. Consider it a Christmas present.
Cheers.
Mm, indeed.
It's not even Halloween yet.
There's no two ways to get a Christmas present, Johnny. Halloween present then. Fine, Scrooge. Scrooge McDuck. Right, let's move on. I put out a tweet the day saying sum up Reading season, so we had a few comments on that.
John, we can't read them.
Yeah. The family friendly ones. John Keane says it's massively inconsistent, but looks like being one of those seasons where no team dominates the league, so who knows? Also, when you see promising signs, they're gone by the next game. One step forward, two steps back. A season of transition.
I wouldn't say it's one forward, two back. I'd say it's one forward, one back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just what it is. It's one week they look like they're going to win and they don't. Another week they might win and they shouldn't. It's just Championship football. And we haven't, like I said, there is no one that's outstanding in the league at the moment. And all teams are slipping up in stupid games. I mean, what was it, Norwich, Rotherham this week? Was it 1-1 yet?
Yeah.
I mean, this
Millwall going.
Norwich should be hammering Rotherham and they didn't. So.
Yeah. Sorry,
the point we're moaning and we're 13th and we're 6 points from top place. You know what I mean? It's just, it will be like it all year and you'll find it happens every year. Someone will come out, last 10 games, probably win 8 of them and end up in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Joe Stevenson, again, another regular Twitter, and thanks for your tweet, Joe. He basically agrees with you, West. He says, we expected an inconsistent season at the start. We're still waiting on the return of key players. Yeah. So hitting expectations.
I still think we've finished stronger than we start.
Yep. And Tarlhurst End Extra co-host Charles Watt says, consistently inconsistent.
And you can't sum it up any better than that.
Yep, Jerry Davey says same old Reading. Raw Hoops, assistant editor at the site, says injury struck.
Yeah,
is his summary of the season. Cam Banter is a bit more critical. He says a real lack of effort or want from a number of players. Errors from Adkins, woeful defending.
Mm.
The next question is,
and I heard a lot of people say it on the radio this week, is if they continue not to win games, you go another two or three games without them winning, then does Atkins' position become in jeopardy?
I think he can hide. Well, I don't say hide, but I think he can use the injury defence for quite a while.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he should do. I'm just saying with new owners, I mean, they're saying how lovely they are and that, but at the end of the day, they're investors and they ain't going to come here and watch.
I think it depends. Struggle. I think it would take absolute collapses. Even as bad as I thought Brentford was, Reading were competitive in the game. They did create chances. They weren't. If they get beat 4-5-0 at home, then get another couple of, if they get some absolute spankings and it looks like he's lost the dressing room, that it would take something massive.
I mean, it's not as bad as it was under Brendan at all, by any means. No. You know,
but then he's got a better side.
Wasn't even as bad as it was this time last year when Reading were conceded 6 at Peterborough, 5 at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, we're putting together good half hours of games. We just need to put together a full 90 minutes and, you know, suddenly it'll all look better if we're ever going to do that.
Mm. It'll be interesting when McCleary comes back.
Yeah.
And Williams.
65 Volley says it's been a complete disappointment. So he's sharing the underwhelming feeling. Mm. Gary Woodward says an average season mitigated by the injury crisis. Fans demand big improvement once key players return. Big pressure for Adkins.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to make, actually. Mm. He's right there. But when McCleary and Williams and Carrigan are all back, then there's nowhere to hide anymore. And then they've got to start picking up results. I think they will. I don't think his job is in any sort of jeopardy. But It's just a question I was sticking out.
One from Talk Murty to me. Average start for an average side.
You can't argue with that at the moment either.
Mm.
Terry Tibbs, is the international break a good thing or a bad thing in your opinion?
It's non-plus point, really.
Good for me in the sense of it gives 2 weeks of players to get fit, although every time I go into an international break saying that, no one comes back.
No. They don't tend to, though, no. No, so I'm really bothered either way.
International football is international football.
Yeah. Rubbish.
It's given us a chance to see England San Marino, so
yeah.
That's got to be a good thing.
Give Robson Carney a chance to get another match under his belt with a bit of luck.
Chris Barnum, why did Cox not start on Saturday?
Good question.
Yeah.
Don't think any of us can answer that, other than Atkins, and he'd probably skate around it and do his salesman routine as usual.
Yeah, I think he said something along the lines of he thought Ryan would give us good energy or something along those lines. I did see that. My thought was that he might have picked Edwards because Edwards is more mobile and he wanted someone that might be able to drop a bit deeper to help out Cole and Norwood. In practice, it didn't work like that.
No, but the thing is, he's got already spoke about it. We've all spoke about it. Through the middle of that side, it's quite light and weak. So what's he done? Yeah, he's put a lighter and weaker player amongst light and weak players.
I'm not defending it. That's for me, the only tactical way I rationalise it.
Where he's got Cox, who scored goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, no, agree.
Ridiculous.
Talk Reading says, which of the youth players would you send out on loan? I think we've just covered that one.
Most of them.
Yeah,
all of them when we've got a good squad.
Yeah, I want them to be making the sort of calamitous mistakes for AFC Wimbledon and Barnet rather than, with all due respect, Reading. Yeah. I want them to be learning and making those bad decisions for teams that aren't going
to
hurt us.
You'd like to see them go into League One at some of the top sides, your Peterboroughs and sides like that. They're up there, Preston, you know what I mean? Playing at a decent sort of level because I think they're capable of that and they've proved that they're average, at least in the Championship. So,
Mark Sugar describes it as a far more enjoyable than last season. Need to improve defensively. If we are to challenge those above us?
Yeah, that's clear. And we need to start scoring more goals away from us.
Is it more enjoyable for you than start last season?
Start last season was pretty poor from what I can remember. I tend to block these things out though after a little while. It fades into 1 year.
I think the whole of last season was a bit of hope and then let us down just about every opportunity they could. As other teams tried to throw it away as well.
I think we've got better players than we had last season. I think we've got a stronger squad.
I mean, you know, you've come into... I think you go into each game with a bit less expectation, especially in the current situation.
Yeah.
The start of last season was a bit more exciting because we'd signed, you know, the likes of Jonta before we knew he was absolute rubbish. Bridge, Williams. And they were really coming in some good form. And then it was that Leeds game when they picked up the injuries to Jonta. Karachan, someone else I think got
Guthrie might have got injured.
Maybe, and then it just all sort of fell apart. And then you started getting into that period where they were getting spanked, and then it got absolutely awful around Christmas, didn't it?
I think those three players did raise expectations last year, and it made it an exciting start because you thought, okay, well, these three players should be able to do it in this league. Turned out the two of them couldn't. But
all they did was raise the wage.
Yeah, that's it. And this year, the expectation has been lowered by the fact that we're playing young players. But I've been quite happy to see the young players play, to be honest. And I think it does, like Chris Casper said a few weeks ago, it does give the manager a little bit more time because everyone's expecting to make mistakes. And they are making mistakes, to be fair.
Yeah, and you feel that they are going somewhere. I know we've just said, it's one step forward, one step back. But, I mean, this time last year, after 11 games, we had 19 points.
Only lost one game.
Yeah.
And that was 10.
And this time we've got 15 points. So, I mean, last year we had more points, but then, as I said, it was that Leeds game came after 7. We then went and beat Derby in one of the best games of the season.
Yeah, we didn't
ground out a 2-0 win over Birmingham with those two free kicks. And then it started to go wrong, really, with that 1-0. You know, we blew a late lead against Barnsley, didn't we?
Yeah, it was Christmas time. We sort of slipped down again, wasn't it? We lost a few and drew one. Yeah, I just think we're finished stronger this year. I think we will be all right on the back end of the season, and we should be, and there's no excuse if they're not.
Yeah. And the final one comes from Miles Dobson, and he says, what's the latest on Jem, Gareth and Daniel? Presumably meaning Karachan, McCleary and Williams, and we covered that in News Bites. So that wraps up all of your tweets and emails. Thank you very much for those of you who got in touch. And as I said before, at the Tarlest End for the Twitter, Facebook.com/TarlestEnd, and the email address is thetarlestend@gmail.com.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any other business?
Right, just time for any other business. If you've made it this far, thank you and well done. And we'll hope to reward you with a couple more minutes of golden audio. as this is the last show.
Sadly, the bits that are left on the showroom floor are a lot better than the stuff you're getting.
Some juicy bits been said behind closed doors.
Yeah.
As is typical.
So if you want to come be part of our live studio audience, you'll have a chance to for our Christmas show.
Nice link.
Which we will announce details of. But once again, we hope to get down the Spread Eagle, just outside Elm Park. So, we have had a few listeners come down in past years, and it's always been good. It's been good to put a few faces to names and whatnot.
So, if you want to listen to some of the more libelous stuff, then come down.
Just don't bring your tape recorders. Anyway, more on that as we get to it. But just a couple more bits to round up before we go. First of all, our player of the month, as voted for by you on the website.
Oh, it's landslide.
Indeed. And Ollie Norwood gets it for his performances in September. 71% of the vote. Simon Cox in second with 22%. Glenn Murray in third with 7%. And Alex Pearce...
voted for himself.
Yeah, Alex Pearce with one vote. Not quite the pointless answer we were looking for. BBC One retainer.
Disappointing that both his mum and dad haven't voted for him.
No, even they've seen his performance over that good.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about this. Simon Cox, Glenn Murray and Oliver Norwood, all Adkin signings.
Yeah.
So clearly he is getting what he wants from the players that he's bought.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with Norwood. He's been brilliant. And not just has he been good, but he's entertaining to watch. Mm. And at the end of the day, that's one of the things you go to watch football for, is entertaining football. And Norwood brings that. So congratulations to Ollie Norwood. He succeeds Aaron Cool, who was the August Player of the Month. So two separate to start the year. Last year, it was, I think, the first 5 months, it was either Guthrie or Pogge.
It was, yeah.
And it's funny, two players that we've just spent absolutely pillaring. So it shows you how far you can fall.
And they were nowhere near our Player of the Season award either.
No.
Just because they've shown early season form.
Yeah.
It's funny though, especially with Pogge. Pogge was getting it because he was probably the only player that wasn't awful.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing anything particularly... Again, but just like we said, he wasn't doing bad things.
It was like that for the first month, wasn't it, really?
He was basically getting battered every week, wasn't he? Every time he got the ball, he got battered, and that's...
Yeah, with all due respect to Aaron Cole, he didn't exactly set the world alight, but he was showing a lot of promise for a good young player. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, congratulations to Ollie Norwood. We'd love to give you a prize. Unfortunately, we don't have one. But if you'd like to sponsor a prize for us, get in touch.
If you, Ollie Norwood, like to sponsor your own prize.
Yeah. If you want it to be called the Oliver Norwood Player of the Month, get in touch. thetarlestend@gmail.com. Happy to talk.
Maybe Hal wants his name on an award.
Yeah, he will have.
If you'd like to sponsor the Hal Robson Canoe Least Improved Player Award.
Again.
The Hal Robson Canoe, sponsored by... Anyway, again.
But when does the least improved turn into the not improved, to the get out of the club?
Most regressive.
The Get Out of the Club Award. The Royston Drenthe Award.
The Cab Fares in the Envelope Award.
The Royston Drenthe Award for Unprofessional Footballers goes to...
Unprofessional and a joke. God. We've lost it, guys. Over an hour in. Anyway, let's try and wrap this up. So congratulations to Oliver Norwood. The only other thing to do is to look ahead to Derby. Now, this is a game that's said not going to take place for a couple of weeks because of international duty. But we're probably not going to record, so we have to give our predictions and whatnot. So, you know, Derby, last season's beaten playoff finalists, mugged by QPR. And on a side note, delighted to see QPR getting what they deserve in the Premier League.
Yeah,
they didn't deserve. Mullered,
yeah.
They did not deserve to go up last year.
No.
And they get once again, they fall into their old trap of signing over the hill Premier League players. And
unprofessional jokes of footballers. Yeah,
unprofessional jokes.
So see you next season. I see Harry's contract talks have suddenly stalled out of nowhere. Mm.
Can't get through to Rosie, can they?
Yeah. Brilliant. Anyway, before Johnny gets in trouble.
Yeah.
Where was I? Derby County lost to QPR in that playoff final somehow. I don't know how they managed to lose it, but they did. They've bounced back pretty well. They've been steady without being spectacular. They've picked up 20 points from 11 games to sit fourth in the table. But they have only been beaten once, and that was to away at Charlton, a team who themselves have been very good so far this season. Mm. They've drawn with Forest. In saying that, though, it's only really Forest and Cardiff, both teams that they've drawn with, that you'd think, oh, well, they were tough sides. You know, they've beaten Bournemouth, beaten Bolton. Bolton.
Last time out, drew with Millwall, and Millwall just about did a job on us before we... Grabbed a goal to win it.
So basically, what are you expecting from Steve McLaren's side? Because this was a team that Reading easily beat up at the iPro last season and then drew at home within the league. And obviously, we played them a couple of weeks ago in the League Cup and they picked up a 2-0 win. Obviously, a couple of changed sides because it was the League Cup. But it was a game that Reading certainly had chances in.
I think last year Derby probably should have beat us at home. I thought they had two or three excellent opportunities to beat us and it ended up 0-0. I think Derby have been good since McLaren's took over, and like I said, they've got steady form, and it's going to be a tough game for Reading, I think, at home.
The thing is, you can't see us being the first team to beat Derby at home, can you? In the way we are at the moment, I can't see us. They haven't conceded in their last two at home, their last three in all games. I can't see us being the team.
Yeah but Wolves came with that great defensive record.
This is exactly what I'm saying about Reading. This is the sort of game they will go and win.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that what you're saying then? You're sticking it on
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is the game they will go and win.
I'm going for a thrilling 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Can we get that right?
Well, let's go. So I've just made the prediction spreadsheet massive.
Yeah.
It doesn't make for pretty reading. There's a lot of reds and, for some reason, orange.
That's right. Second half of the season, Wes, you'll pick up
some dodgy greens.
Yeah, our prediction league, this shows you why we're not rich gamblers. Mm. As once again, the four of us all got the Brentford result wrong.
What are these red ones?
Red is where you get it completely wrong. You get the result wrong. You don't just get the score wrong. You get it. Basically, I've got a colour-coded chart in front of me. Green means you get the score and the result correct. Yeah. Blue means you just get the result correct. And red means you get both wrong. There is so much red here.
I've got eight reds.
Mm. It's horrible. It's horrible. There is a lot of reds. Westy's got two results right all season.
Yeah, that's Forest away.
I've got three. Johnny's got three. Charles Watts is the best of us. It's probably why he earns professional employment following Reading with five correct results.
It's just charmed life.
Yes. So Charles leads our prediction league with 7 points. Me and Johnny are tied for second on five, and Westy is preparing for a late run.
Yeah, a bit like Reading, big finish at the end, I think.
Anyway, we all got the predictions wrong. Only Johnny predicted anything less than a win. He predicted a draw. And as I said, Westy, you did get the score right, 3-1, but you predicted it for...
Unfortunately, the wrong way around, yeah.
So, right, Derby County at home.
I'm going to say it's going to be another thriller. I reckon 2-1 to Reading.
Westy says 2-1 Reading.
That's guaranteed a Reading defeat, yeah.
Jonathan.
0-2.
2-0 win for Derby, okay. I think we raise our games against the best sides.
Which is why we lost 4-0 at Forest.
Yeah.
That was
bad.
I think Reading bounce back. I think the international break's going to do them good, and I'm going to say they squeak a 1-0 win.
Oh, clean sheet. That'd be even more surprising than a Reading win.
Yeah, going gutsy. So there you go.
I like it.
Three different score lines, two different results. All we need is Charles now to predict a draw and someone's guaranteed a point. Is he going to go tactical?
Draw written all over it now.
Yeah, 0-0. But anyway, that's our predictions. So that wraps up the show. As mentioned, we're not going to record next week because as much as we'd like to dissect England Estonia, I've got paint to watch dry. And yeah, that's about it. I will return with Charles Watts for the podcast extra just before the Derby game, where you can hear his pre-match thoughts and hopefully get an update on some of the injuries and the players. Fingers crossed no one gets any more injuries on the international duty, because I don't think I can take any more, and I don't think the injury room is big enough.
You'll probably get DVT on the plane or something.
Yeah. God. For going to Cardiff. On the coach going to Cardiff. Just sum up the season.
We need to tell them, right, go for a walk every couple of hours.
Yeah, warm down.
Pull over at Membry Services.
Warm down.
Welcome break. I won't mention Gamble Aware this month. So
we do keep mentioning it, to be fair.
Because you should gamble responsibly. Should. Anyway, I'm rambling on gamble. Complete nonsense now, so it's time for us to go. For things that aren't nonsense, please go onto thetarlesn.com. There's some fantastic content up there. Again, I'm just going to big up our stats desk, who have done some brilliant stats reviews. If you're into your heat maps and your grids and stats like that, they have done some really, really good work. And it's dead interesting as well. And it's funny when you actually read the stats behind something and it backs up something you've thought. You know, we've had a couple of bits on throw-ins, and I've always thought Reading were the worst team for throw-ins, and the stats seem to be showing that. So it was nice. So go check that out. And as I mentioned earlier, please, 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 if you do have a couple of minutes to spare, vote for us for a couple of awards we're up for. It's very much appreciated. In the meantime, it's goodbye from us.
Goodbye.
Yeah, one more thing. If anyone happens to see Stephen Kelly, take a picture of him, because I haven't seen him for months.
And on that note... Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's funny how the crowd's always been.